Chapter 1. I balanced baby Theo on my hip while Lou finished filling a plate with pastries. Motherhood hadn't changed her at all, still elegant and immaculate as ever. The kitchen was a showplace of gleaming stainless steel and stone. How did she manage to keep that up with a baby? Matthew poured wine, a very small glass for each of us, since none of us were day drinkers, and we were gathered to wet the baby's head. Theo burped. I looked down to see a mess on my t-shirt. "I'll get you something to change into," Lou said. "Matthew, take Theo. Charity won't want to eat with sick on her boob." In minutes, I was wearing a black t-shirt from Lou's closet, my own sealed in a plastic bag to contain the toxicity. "I'll be glad when he's over that stage," Lou said. "I'm usually in sweats and an old cotton top. I get dressed up for visitors, but it's always a risk." So motherhood had changed her, at least when no one was looking. "You don't need to wear fancy clothes for me," I said. "Believe me, I look forward to it. I like knowing my favorites still fit. I'm afraid that wearing baggy old clothes will encourage me to get fat." "You'll get plenty of exercise when Theo is mobile," I said. They would be buffering every surface in the house soon. Back in the kitchen, Theo was fast asleep in his car seat, which doubled as a cradle, and Matthew was munching a chocolate tart. "Do you miss France?" He'd moved to Canada for Lou, and they'd spent the last year in Pina-sur-Midi, where he used to be a gendarme, before quitting in disgust at the corruption he saw all around him. "We can visit anytime," he said, "one of the benefits of being self-employed." "Speaking of which," I said, reluctant to ask my question when he seemed so relaxed, "when are you coming back to work?" He could stay home and live off Lou's money, but Matthew liked investigating, even the boring work for insurance companies. He glanced at Lou as if for support. "I will, but not yet," he said. "I want to be here for Theo and Lou. We don't have a big caseload right now. I can manage it as long as I don't take on much new business." What else could I say? My own parents had dumped me with relatives to go do good around the world. They died overseas, and it was months before we knew. Theo deserved a closer bond. My phone vibrated. I checked the caller ID. Rance McDonald? Hotshot lawyer and father to my friend Val's boyfriend. I didn't see Val much anymore now that she was in a relationship and running her own business. Neither of us high-powered entrepreneurs had much time to socialize. "I'll take it in the living room," I said. I grabbed a pastry and a napkin and headed out of the kitchen. I accepted the call. "Hold for Mr. McDonald," a female voice said right after my hello. "Charity," Rance said moments later. "How's business?" "Good." Rance was a partner in one of the biggest law firms in Vancouver. He didn't reach out to lowly private investigators for a chat. "Can we meet?" he asked. "I want to run a case by you, if you have capacity to take something on, that is." "I do," I said, despite Matthew's absence. I couldn't really turn away business. "But don't you have an in-house team?" "They're on another case. I'll tell you everything when you get here. Is 11 at my office good?" "I'll see you there," I said, and we ended the call. The timing would give me a chance to drop by my place, to change into something more appropriate for a downtown law office than capri jeans and a borrowed tee. I tucked my phone back in my pocket. If this was a big job, I could manage it, just about. The cases still on my plate were mostly reports and research. Matthew could do that from home and still be there for his wife and kid. This was what I wanted after the last case, to work on normal PI jobs. Sure, I'd hoped it would be with Matthew, but that would come. No vicious gangs, no dangerous situations, no cops involved. I popped the pastry in my mouth and used a napkin to catch any crumbs. Then I noticed the mess on the floor. Unlike the kitchen, in here baby blankets lay where they'd been tossed on the sofa, a pile of clean diapers sat ready for use on the coffee table, and a suspicious stain lurked on the carpet. Gone was Lou's showplace. Little Theo had already made his presence known, and he wasn't even crawling yet. For some reason, the mess made me happy. "Rance may have a job for us," I announced as I re-entered the kitchen. "A law firm is a good bread-and-butter client," Matthew said. "Is that the right expression?" "Yes," Lou answered him. A bread-and-butter job could easily take all our capacity. It felt a little too much like working for someone else to make me happy. "If that's what he's offering, we'll need to talk," I said. "We don't have the capacity to take on another steady client. Maybe it's time to expand." Matthew did that French shrug thing that could mean yes, no, maybe, or the world is an interesting place full of surprises. "I'm not dropping the insurance clients or working for someone," I said. "We are independent, right?" "Don't jump to conclusions," Lou said. "Life isn't always what you expect. Look at us. I didn't think I could love anyone again, and yet here I am, remarried to a great guy, and I'm a mother. Just let things happen for a while, Charity. And you? Living with this David guy? A cop of all things? When do we get to meet this man who convinced you to look past his job and get over the last love of your life?" "Soon." I drank my wine and grabbed a croissant. Letting life carry me along wasn't my thing. But she was right. I didn't know what Rance wanted, so I should stop making contingency plans for something that might not happen. And I definitely shouldn't start worrying if Lou would like David. Or what I'd do if she hated him.